Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to me. So far, I think I'm all by myself with Ray Gebauer on Building Fortunes Radio. Ray is not here yet, and I am not sure what's going on. He did not text me. Usually, he's been surprising me because we've been doing this triple letter formula for living a better life. So I don't know if Ray is going to be coming in or not. So we're going to give him a couple of minutes before I decide that maybe we have to just do a replay. So for those people that are listening in, Ray's a good guy. Gebauer is spelled G-E-B-A-U-E-R, G-E-B-A-U-E-R, and we even have a special website, buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer, for those people that want to check him out. Ray is a gentleman who's a leading distributor of a network marketing company, and he has been doing this for a really long time. His story is very interesting. I met him early in the years 2000, I believe, so early 2000s. He was building with a distributorship. Some things happened. He built this huge distributorship. He'll tell you the story as you go about it. He lost that distributorship, came out, did it, or is doing it all over again with the new company he's working with, and which, by the way, is run by a really good guy. He is a member now of the new SNA. We call it the Social Networking Association. So his new company owner is a good solid guy. Anyway, so having said that, all of that, I kind of rekindled my relationship with Ray, and I asked him if he would do this Building Fortunes Radio show, because I figured he could, number one, use the extra help. Number two, I wanted to help our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience find a good mentor. And this is Ray. He is smart. He's written several books. He's been an endless self-development person on himself. So he's spent a ton of money on different courses and books and research and stuff like that to be able to sharpen his axe, to be able to help you. Sharpening his axe is a good expression in this example. Then he's also written books. I think he's got 7 under his belt. He's knows a ton about health and nutrition, so probably help you live longer. That's not a medical claim, just a general sweeping statement from me. He's a good guy, probably help you make some extra money, but your life would be enriched when you work with Ray Gebauer, so you can live that better life. So I'm going to run a little commercial. We'll see if he's going to be around, and we will be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.NetworkLeads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous Blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back, and Ray Gebauer is not here, but that's totally okay. I picked a replay that we'll be able to run for you, and we'll probably be talking about, I think this is one of his triple letter formulas as well. So catch us next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Enjoy this replay.
Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For those people unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We host this radio show, and on Wednesdays at 11 p.m., which is the time now, Eastern Time, we run a radio show with Ray Gebauer. Ray Gebauer is like one of the really good guys in the home-based business industry. If you take a look at Ray,
He's just somebody who works really hard at his profession. He's somebody that studies a lot. He works on himself, and he really cares about the people that he brings in. Super smart, especially when it comes to health and nutrition. Super smart when it comes to self-development and things like that. And if you are here and you're ready, you probably want to grab some kind of a note-taking device, whether it's a pen and paper or your computer or wherever you're going to scribble something down, because you'll want to grab some of the information he's going to provide for you tonight. And I know you'll never be able to really grasp it all in one sitting. You can go back and listen to it again on buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer. So I just want to say thank you, Ray Gebauer, for being here and sharing with us some really cool stuff and blessing some people that want to work with you. And thanks for being here on Building Fortunes Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. And thank you for allowing me to have this platform to share some ideas, because I know we both want the same thing. We want to make the world a better place, starting with each individual person's world, make their world a better place. And we all want to be happier. We all want to feel good about ourselves. We all want to be more fully alive and live longer and be healthy. So tonight I'm going to be continuing a series that I started about 5 weeks back on sharing formulas. These are like passwords, like secret passwords that allow you to get to where you want to go. Or like, yeah, formulas are a good word. And what all these formulas have in common, and there's some overlap, but they all are based on three letters, like my triple A formula. And last week, I think it was the three, I've had three W's. What was the one?
Three E's.
Yeah, three E's. And so this is going to be the three P's. Now, this isn't like two P's in the pod. This is more like three in the pod. And I think you'll get some real value out of this. And that's the whole point of this, to enrich your life, to make you more effective, more powerful, more prosperous, to make more of a difference in life. Because I think that is the purpose in life, ultimately, on the highest level, is to create value, to create as much value as we can, to make as big of a difference we can, the end result being everybody wins bigger. We all want to win, but the biggest win for us personally is when we help more people win. In fact, what comes to mind is a verse that in the Bible where it says, it basically said, if you want to be great, you're great in the kingdom, you got to serve a lot of people. Jim Rohn talked about that. He who is greatest of all is he who is servant of all. And so if you want to serve more effectively and reach and impact more people, there's certain things we got to do. But anyway, let me start with a story to introduce the first of the three P's. When I grew up in not a really healthy environment, wasn't healthy emotionally, and, you know, back then, very few people were aware of how damaging junk food was, and so you ate just whatever and as much candy as you wanted, and you end up paying a price for that. So I grew up with a weak immune system. Unfortunately, the doctors took out my tonsils at an early age, which now they don't do much anymore because they realize that actually harms you and you're just dealing with the symptoms, which doctors still tend to do, just deal with symptoms. But anyway, so I had really, really bad allergies. I mean, I remember getting tested. I think it was like in the second or third grade, did all these skin tests, and I was allergic to all these things, including 14 different kinds of grasses, you know. And so I would typically carry two or three handkerchiefs in my pocket because I was blowing my nose all the time. And so, you know, doctors do what doctors are trained to do. You know, they give you drugs, right, to help alleviate the symptoms. well, it didn't work that well, but, you know, you don't know what else to do. So a lot of people, they just keep taking the same medications. And I did for 14 years. And, you know, it had its side effects, and I couldn't really tell that it helped. But, you know, I was blindly trusting the authorities, you know. And I remember in 1972, it was my second year in college in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we're starting the second semester, and a new student showed up. He's actually a doctor of chiropractic. He had been a missionary in Africa, and so he came to the school to further his education. We became friends. I realized he knew a lot more about health and nutrition than I did, which I knew like zero at the time. So one day I said, hey, do you have any ideas of what I could do to help these damn allergies? It's like killing me, you know? I said, well, yeah, sure. Why don't you just try this? So he gave me a simple idea of something to do. And I thought, yeah, I can do that. That's easy. So I don't remember if I had much faith in it, but, you know, I was desperate. I was miserable. So I tried what he recommended. And I remember within 24 hours, I was 90% better, which was drastic. So I remember as if it was last night, walking into the bathroom. We were living in a dormitory. And I remember picking up my little bottle of pills, my drugs, and throwing them in the trash. And never took one again. And I was so much better. So that was an epiphany for me. It opened my eyes like, there's another way besides, you know, medications, which weren't working so well anyway. And so it was like a new possibility for me. And so it got my attention. And so I started investigating, starting researching, starting reading books. And I'm a big book reader. I'm so blessed that my mother invested in me when I was a teenager in high school and paid for the Evelyn Woods Reading Dynamics course. I was actually a slow reader at the beginning. I remember they tested me as at 250 words a minute. After I went through the course, I was at 900 words a minute. And I retook the course, and then it was like, 2,500 words a minute? No, 5,000. I took some other courses where I learned to go up to 25,000 words a minute, you know, going through a book in a few minutes. And so I became a speed reader, and, you know, I haven't maintained those high levels. But anyway, my point is I did a lot of reading and research, and you know, I learned the way anyone learns. Any doctor learns, they learn from somebody else, right? You know, they learn from others. So, you know, that launched me in that direction of becoming a doctor. And so technically, I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't pretend to be one on TV, but I'm a holistic doctor because I help people. And that's what got my attention, launched me in that direction. But here's what added real fuel to the fire, so to speak. It really amped up my passion, and a lot of things in between. But here's the couple really big ones. It's still disturbing to me when I think about this or talk about it, because it was so devastating. Back in 2011, my wife, who had been battling with cancer, and we were optimistic she was going to make it, looking back, you know, she was a little too casual and wasn't strict enough, and anyway, she didn't make it, and she died more from the medical treatment than she did from the disease, which is unfortunately a common occurrence. And so it's like, for me, it's such a disaster, such a tragedy to lose the most important person in my life to a disease. I talk about dodging the bullets of disease. Well, she wasn't able to dodge that one, and it got her. And it, you know, got me indirectly because the pain of the loss. And then shortly afterwards, my sister died of the same thing. And, you know, to some extent, I blame the doctors, but ultimately, we're all responsible for our decisions, and we're susceptible to being swayed. But when I see, and then I have a number of good friends that I've lost, you know, like Kent Halpert and David Boyd and Wesley, a number of people, friends of mine that have died before their time. And I find it interesting, 2,500 years ago, King Solomon, he said, "Don't be a fool. Why should you die before your time?" But 90% of the people are. Very sad. I mean, did you hear on the news just yesterday? 20,000 people died from cancer. And the day before, and the day before, and tomorrow, and more than that, more than 20,000 die every day from heart disease. That's not even counting diabetes and Alzheimer's and strokes. So it's really a sad situation. So anyway, I say all of that, that is what really solidified my purpose in life, is to help people dodge those bullets, to get their health back and to stay healthy. So the first P word here is purpose. You've got to live your life on purpose. That one of my favorite books, even though I disagree with a number of points in the book, but it's still one of the best books I've read. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I think they sold like 30 million copies of this book. And I've gone through the book, I've read through the book, it's like a 40-day plan, you know, 6 or 7 times. I think everybody should go through it once a year. And it's very helps bring real clarity about how important purpose is. Now, it's easy to say, well, yeah, most people don't live their life on purpose. Well, actually, I would say everybody already is living their life on purpose. It's just that usually they're not clear about their purpose, and it's more of maybe a subconscious purpose. Like, for example, I came up with these three S's. There's three kinds of missions in life or purpose. And most people, from my observation, their mission or purpose in life is just survival. So they're on a survival mission. Just get through the day. Just get through the week. Then you have some time off on the weekend maybe, and then you start all over, and they feel like they're on a treadmill. And they're just trying to survive. You know, they're over their head with stress and maybe financial stress or other issues, marital stress or health issues. And it's just all they can do is think about, I can just one day at a time. I got to survive. And that's their whole purpose. And, you know, I feel sorry for people if that's all you're living for is just to survive. And then some people are even worse. They're unconsciously, their mission is not just survival, but they're sort of on a suicide mission. Not deliberately, but with an unhealthy lifestyle, like, you know, diabetes. 80% of the people already have diabetes, and that cuts off an average of 15 years off your life. Not to mention, it's also the leading cause of them cutting off, you know, your toes and feet and our hands, I mean, amputations, the leading cause of blindness. And like I said, 20,000 people die every day just from cancer, more than that from heart disease, and 80% already are diabetic. And because we're doing it to ourselves and not realizing it. So Americans are sort of on a suicide diet. Sometimes it's referred to as death by fork, or death by spoon and fork. And it's not just the lack of good food. There's other factors, too much stress and not enough exercise and things like that. So the third S, so people are, a lot of them are driven by just trying to survive, and then sort of unconsciously, not purposely, on like a suicide plan. And there's some people like me, and hopefully most of you, the mission you're on and I'm on is the salvation mission. We're trying to save people. Some people, they want to save the environment, or save the whales, or save the unborn babies, or save people financially, save people in their health so they don't have to suffer and be miserable and spend the last 10 years in the nursing home or with Alzheimer's, or they die like my next door neighbor's brother at age 37. He died of a heart attack. My grandson told me just a couple weeks ago, I was there on his graduation from high school. He said, one of the kids in high school died of a heart attack. So it's, tragic. And people are doing it to themselves and they don't realize it. Because, there's a verse in the Bible that says people perish, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so anyway, I'm on a mission to help educate people so they can avoid some of those deadly bullets. So that's my purpose. That's, among other things, but that's my ultimate purpose of how I see to create value. A lot of people, their purpose in life, or like I said, survival, or they're fear-driven, and they're just living to avoid getting hurt emotionally, primarily. Some people, they're driven more from just because they feel insecure, they just need to be right, and everyone else is wrong. That feeds into arrogance. But if you want to make it big in life, if you want to make a difference, if you want to win, you have to have a noble purpose, a big purpose, something that stretches you, that's bigger than you are, and you probably can't do it on your own. You need other people. You need to build a team. You need to work with others to make the kind of difference you want to make. So you got to get clarity. First of all, what is your purpose in life? And then you've got to commit to it and live your life on purpose rather than just sort of wandering through life, bouncing off from wall to wall and just whatever. Or some people are fatalistic. Well, whatever happens, I guess it's just God's will. Come on. No, we are meant to live our life on purpose, and think intelligently and make good decisions. And we make a lot of mistakes. But if you're not living your life on purpose, and I talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago about having an important why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, that's sort of the same thing. So that's the first P. The second one, one more thing I want to say about purpose. We're all familiar with the acronym DUI, which typically is understood to be driving under influence. And I'm going to use that same one. But we're all have a DUI. We're all driving under the influence of our purpose, consciously or unconsciously. Whether that purpose is just to survive or to make a lot of money or to be famous or to look good or to be right, we're all driven. So if you're going to, we're all operating in that dynamic of a DUI already. We can choose the DUI. We're driving through life under the influence of our purpose, so we can upgrade to a better purpose that makes more of a difference, which also enriches our own life, and we feel better because we know we're making more of a difference and helping more people. The second P is possibilities. I remember really seeing this for the first time in one of the coaching programs I was in. I actually paid $25,000, quite a few years ago, which is quite a stretch. Fortunately, I was doing really well and I could afford it. I just wasn't sure if that's really the best use of my money, but it was like the best money I've ever spent. And one of the things I learned was how important it is to think in terms of and speak in terms of possibilities. Rather than telling people what to do, you use the word possibility. But first of all, with yourself, if you want to have a bigger and better life that's more joyful and fulfilling, you can't limit yourself like to the first option. You want to think in terms of possibilities. In fact, here's one of my favorite quotes from Søren Kierkegaard. He lived from 1813 to 1855. And he said, it is very dangerous to go into eternity with possibilities which one has oneself prevented from becoming realities. A possibility is a hint from God. One must follow it. So one of the key elements in this formula is if you want a better life, you got to be open to possibilities. I think from my observation, most people tend to be pretty closed-minded. And so it's sort of a rip-off. They're ripping themselves off by not even looking at possibilities. How many of you, say in a business context, you're presenting a possibility to somebody and they're just not even open? Well, you got to move on. Sometimes you can open them up. But in those recruiting type conversations, the word possibility is really, really powerful and good to use because people don't have as much automatic resistance to possibility as to other words where they feel like they're being pushed or pressured or sold. He's like, hey, are you open to a possibility? Let's look at the different possibilities of how to get started. Let's look at the possibility of in 4 years that you could be financially independent. Let's look at the possibility of you engaging to the point where you're making a difference for hundreds or thousands of people, maybe millions. So possibilities is a word that opens people up and actually gives us more influence. So I like that concept. I like using that word because it's very useful. I think it gives us more influence with people. And we need to think of that. There's a sort of a clever, funny saying that the mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. So when you're open, part of that means you're open to other possibilities. Now, then you have to use your intelligence and maybe counsel from others and make a decision, well, which possibility? You might have 10 possibilities. But a lot of people, they think black and white, yes or no. They think in terms of maybe two possibilities, one positive, one negative. So they're basically trapped on a one-way street, on one-track mind. And you've got to consider other possibilities if you want to have a bigger, better life. Does that make sense? And the third P in the pod here that I've chosen to speak about is part of the formula for a better life. It's one of the keys to the kingdom, in a sense, is the word being powerful. See, just because you have a great purpose and a cause or a mission, a crusade, which most people don't, but you need to get clarity on that, and you got to feel strongly about it. And one more thing I need to say about purpose, out of purpose comes passion. Like purpose is the father of passion, or passion is the child, so to speak, of purpose. When your purpose becomes strong enough and you feel strongly about it, that's where passion comes. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to be passionate about this. Passion doesn't exist. Feeling strongly about things can't exist without the foundation of a purpose. So you don't just look for your passion. You got to have the purpose, which then will generate the passion. Well, back to this third element. If you want to make a difference in the world, you can't do it from a position of weakness or being passive. I mean, there's a time to be passive, and we all have elements of weakness. But if you want to make a difference for yourself and others, you've got to become more powerful, more influential. So that starts with realizing that you can become more powerful. Not powerful in the sense of powerful over others, where you're controlling or manipulating or dominating, but powerful in your influence. Otherwise, instead of helping maybe thousands of people, you might just help a handful, which is better than none. But we want to be powerful, and part of the impact of being powerful is being powerful persistently. So that's sort of a fourth P, but I'm going to combine it here with powerful. You want to be powerful and persistent. Because, I mean, like you're cutting down a tree and with an axe, let's say. And so you might be really powerful. But, you know, just swinging the axe, you know, four or five times is probably not going to do it. So it has to be power with persistency. And same thing when you're trying to influence somebody. You want to speak powerfully with confidence and with, you know, intelligence and stories and emotions and, you know, find out what they already want and show them how what you have can give them what they already want. That's part of being powerful, being more effective. But sometimes it doesn't happen in the first conversation. Sometimes it's the third, fourth, or fifth conversation, and it's like, you know, cutting down a tree. You don't do it with one chop. I mean, it takes time. It takes persistence. I've had a number of people tell me that, you know, I think your middle name is persistence. And that is one of the aspects, one of the dynamics of my success, not just me, but anyone who has success. It takes persistence. You got to stay in the game. You can't be a spectator. You got to be a participant. And not just a participant out there on the court or on the football field. You've got to become more effective, more powerful. You know, it's one thing to be a quarterback, but it's another thing to be an outstanding quarterback. You want to be powerful in whatever you do, particularly in your speaking. Powerful in how you express yourself. And you've got to do it persistently. Now, there is a point at some point that you do let people go. You don't want to, you know, harass people, obviously. You know, so you have to, you know, but I think people tend to err too much on the side of being afraid that they might offend somebody and say, well, they said no, so, you know, next. Some will, some won't. So what next? Yes, but you don't go through that process on the first conversation. There's a place for persistence. And the Bible says there's a time for everything. It's a time for holding on and time for letting go. And some people, they hold on too long. Like if you're in a really abusive relationship, it's not a good time to hold on. It's time to get the heck out of there. It's time to let go. But in business and many times in life, people... it's like, oh, whatever, just go with the flow. And, you know, like any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live, vibrant fish to swim upstream. So most of the time we err on not being persistent enough. And, yes, we want to honor people's free will, honor their decisions, but carefully and gently we want to be persistent because we're there to save people's lives, or at least to make a difference. We're here to help people. And some people, they don't, they're suspicious, you know, they're not so sure. You're just trying to sell them something. And so things sometimes take time to build trust and rapport. But if you're not persistent, you're not going to build trust and rapport because you're already on to the second, third, fourth person. So that's one of the critical keys to success in life. Building your mansion, your palace on, that starts with P too, doesn't it? Palace, building your palace on purpose and passion, along with possibilities, being a possibility thinker, and being powerful, becoming powerful. And one of the dynamics that comes to mind for me about being powerful is the power of promise or commitment. If you want to be more effective in life, you've got to commit. And there's really sort of three levels of commitment. You know, the weakest level, which is still okay, but just pretty weak, is, okay, I'll give it a try. That's better than forget it. You know, but it's not a lot of hope there, but I'll give it a try. Then number two is, Okay, I'll do the best that I can. That's much better. I'll give it a try. But the highest level of commitment is I'm going to do whatever it takes. That's what persistence means. I'm going to do whatever it takes. So if you're committed, and you got to commit at that highest level, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So if you're committed to creating financial freedom and helping a lot of people, making a difference, you can't do that without a clear, strong passion or purpose, without being a possibility thinker, and without being powerful and persistent. And so commitment ties into that, you know, being powerful. You've got to commit yourself. You have to ask other people to commit. You can't just, you know, give them a bunch of information and say, okay, well, let's see what they do. You need to ask them to take the next step. You know, so that's a little bit of persistence. It's asking for commitment. Life works better with commitment, which is one of the critical dynamics that makes you more powerful. When you're committed and you ask people to commit, in fact, if you want to be a leader, that's what leaders do. They get people to commit and follow them or follow the cause. But people aren't going to follow you or the cause unless they commit. And they're not going to commit unless they know, like, and trust you. You know, they have to resonate with your purpose, and you have to help them to see the possibility that they could have a better life, that they don't have to settle. There's too much at stake to settle and to go passive. No, don't go passive, which is what most people do. You got to go powerful. Now, Eric Worre talks about go pro. Part of going pro, being a professional, is these kind of things, these elements, you know, the purpose and possibility, being powerful with persistence. So that's my message for tonight, the triple P formula to have a better, more successful, fulfilling, happy life. And if you want other people to have a better life, these are three of those critical elements that you've got to understand and embrace and integrate. It's not enough just to say, yeah, the guy's right. He makes sense. So what? It's not going to make any difference unless you embrace it. It has to become part of your lifestyle, part of your thinking, you know, part of your habits, what runs our life are habits. You have to create habits that come out of these dynamics of purpose and possibility thinking and being powerful. Even if, let's say, you're not powerful now, most people aren't, but you know what? I used to be a very introverted, passive person of no social skills at all. And I'll tell you, I've come a long ways. You know, perfection is not my goal at all. I think that's an illusion. But I've embraced personal development. I've read a lot of books. Jim Rohn was one of my key mentors, and I've had other mentors. You need a coach. Everybody needs a coach if you want to become more powerful. It doesn't matter where you are in your stage. On 0 to 10, you might be a -3. Okay, well, as long as you want to go in the right direction, you can go from a -3 or 0 to a hero, be a hero in your own story, your own journey of life, and be a hero for others. But you're not going to do a whole lot of that unless you become more powerful, combined with persistence with these other elements. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it, and I hope this is helpful for all of you. And if you'd like to have a conversation with me about this topic, or about perhaps engaging with me in a business where you can help people and make a difference and get some free coaching and mentoring, call me up and let's have a conversation of possibilities and see if this, what I'm doing, would be in alignment with your purpose, and maybe need help clarifying what your purpose is. And hopefully this is helpful just tonight. And maybe I can help you become more powerful and persistent and make more of a difference, to have a bigger win in life and help other people win bigger. So my phone number, that's the best way to get a hold of me. You can text or call me on my private cell phone number at 714 888-9074. I'm actually in Vancouver, Washington, next to Portland, Oregon. Grew up in this area. And again, my number is 714. I know it's a California number, but I don't live in California. So 714-488-9074. So if you feel good about what you heard tonight and want to connect with someone like me and maybe work with me, let's explore the possibility. By the way, that's a good phrase to use for everybody. Hey, let's explore the possibility. Because without possibilities, you don't get very far. So anyway, thank you for listening. God bless you all. Thank you for Peter for hosting all this. And may the rest of your life be the best of your life. And thank you for letting me speak into your life.
Well, thank you, Ray. And for those people that want to hear this again, because you'll never be able to really grasp everything, go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer. So buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer. And if you're wondering, what was that phone number again? It is 714-488-9074. So that's 714-488-9074. And, Ray, I really appreciate everything you do here. And I know we you went over a whole bunch of P's in the process of going through this, and this was really great. So I love listening to you because I love your enthusiasm as well. And we will catch everybody on Building Fortunes Radio the next time. And just to date this a little bit, for those people that are here in the United States, happy 4th of July. Have a safe and a healthy weekend. We'll catch you later. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.